Kind of Blue, a political memoir written and read by Ken Clark. Foreword. This memoir was largely dictated into a tape recorder, usually over late-night brandy and cigar, as a conversational recollection of a life spent actively engaged in politics and government, with some asides about my personal life. My family and I prize our privacy, so, by and large, it concentrates on the political narrative. I had no intention of producing an academic and erudite historical text with footnotes based on extensive research. Instead, I hope I produced a readable and very personal recollection of my involvement in events which will also underline my driving commitment to my political principles and to my view of the national interest of the United Kingdom. I have always believed that the sanest route to prosperity and social equality is to combine free market economics with a strong sense of fairness. Capitalism in the West is currently, and not altogether unreasonably, being undermined by people who feel it's unfairly rewarding the wealthy few and doing nothing for the vast majority of our citizens. But those of us who espouse modern capitalism, and those who, like me, are members of the Conservative Party, should be even more concerned than the most ardent left-winger with ensuring that society is fair. That belief has underpinned my entire political career. These veteran meanderings could only be turned into a book with the assistance of very efficient and well-organized friends and colleagues. They helped the dictaphone interpret my narrative. They edited and sorted out the text and checked my assertions of distant facts. I've made personal written notes on some of the more dramatic events in my career, two or three nights after those events had occurred. But since I've never kept a diary, my off-the-cuff remarks needed considerable sorting out and checking. I'm particularly grateful to Catherine Lang, my last so-called special advisor or political aide, who first insisted that I should try to do this and gave me the crucial dictaphone. With great persistence, she encouraged me to record my reminiscences, and whilst she was on maternity leave, made steady progress in setting out the text in a presentable and readable order. When she eventually returned to full-time work, she bullied me into approaching a literary agent, Natasha Fairweather of United Agents, and through Natasha, I obtained a publisher, Pam Macmillan, and the editing services of Deborah Crewe. Deborah, in particular, drove me on to complete the composition and to improve the language and clarify the meaning I intended as I did so. I am extremely grateful to both of them, as well as to Georgina Morley, my editorial director at Macmillan. I'm also grateful to all the other people at Macmillan who helped to see the book into print, including my copy editor, David Milner, Laura Carr, Tanya Wilde, Ina Matagic, Stuart Wilson, Wilf Dickey, Iram Allen, and Philippa McEwen, who has the unenviable task of organising the publicity schedule. I would also like to record my thanks to the staff in my office, Debbie Sugg and Jamie Hall, who worked at arranging the logistics of all this and made some comments. I'm particularly grateful to many other friends who, like Debbie Sugg, have read relevant parts of the text and given their comments and reminders. People like Norman Fowler, Nick McPherson, Anthony Teasdale, and several others have kindly given their time to check and prompt my recollection of the incidents that they experienced with me. I am extremely grateful for the time and effort they put into it. I would like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to the huge number of good friends and colleagues that I've had throughout my political lifetime. The effect of being reshuffled from department to department and serving on and on from parliament to parliament is that I've spent my time surrounded by a collection of friends and collaborators to whom I've been very close for the periods of time during which we worked together. I've then quite frequently failed or been unable to maintain contact with them as I've moved on to another sphere and become equally dependent on private secretaries, parliamentary private secretaries, special advisers, junior ministers, senior civil servants, and all the other